what is this podcast even about?
Entrepreneurship, lifestyle, and everything in between. She's basically her business bestie.
Basically podcast. I had a really amazing set of guests last year, and I figure it makes sense to circle the block and see what's going on with my people. So today I have Vanessa of Fancy Homebody. How are you doing, Vanessa?
I'm good. Hey.
And for the people that don't already know all about Fancy Homebody, can you give a quick little intro about what your brand is all about, what you're all about?
Of course. So Fancy Homebody is a lifestyle brand started last year that really was supposed to be more of a community for homebodies and introverts alike, and that evolved into a full-on loungewear line and signature apparel line that we are rocking and rolling with in our online store. So
yes,
yeah, just so made one here.
I love Fancy Homebody. Everybody knows I have I have stuff from the loungewear drops, the signature drops. When you first started, which is crazy to me because, like you said, you just hit your 1 year anniversary, you were coming to us as a mother, a wife who worked from home and wanted to be comfortable, and that you started prepping us around December 2019. You launched February 1st. We actually had our podcast interview March 1st or 2nd, and then 2 weeks later, it was a whole pandemic and everybody was at home. So like, it was almost like divine timing. Like, how did you feel about, I mean, the pandemic is something that we want to get out of as soon as possible, but how right. Do you feel about the timing of that?
Yeah. So I went back, of course, and I listened to our last conversation. I could not believe that was before the pandemic. Right. Like, I'm like, wow, we were like really talking before the whole world changed. But yeah, it was, I guess, great timing from a marketing perspective, because a lot of people started talking about being a homebody, being at home. So that, of course, made, I don't know, my brand or my Instagram page at least a little bit more appealing to those who maybe wouldn't have come my way before.
Right.
So, yeah, the timing was great for me because everybody wanted to be comfortable. A lot of people were forced to be still a little bit, like stillness. And I think that even before the pandemic, that was something that I wanted to embrace and to have like other mothers or other people who might not be out and about as much be comfortable with themselves enough that they can enjoy that stillness. So it was just weird to even hear some of my more extroverted friends or like my friends who are like always on the go throughout the pandemic kind of say how they really did enjoy the stillness to a certain extent. You know, right, I feel like right. Everybody is like ready for everything.
You got a little bit, a little side of cabin fever, but well, we thank exactly. you. I'm going to thank you on behalf of all the Fancy Homebodies. With the pandemic, a big part of it was really how it has impacted all of our mental health with being in the house involuntarily. So even if yes. you were already a homebody, even as a homebody, we still want to, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks, go outside, put a little lip on, have a little outfit. And now at that point, we couldn't do that. So I think just getting up, taking a shower, getting your room together and putting on these clothes, whether it was the loungewear or just the sweatshirt, we felt like, okay, we got ourselves together. We can make it through another quarantine day. So
yeah.
that was really, I love that part about it.
That's good. But it's like, that was like not the intention. That right. was so crazy. Like that was just not the intention, but I guess it worked out that way.
It really did. All the stars aligned. So if you could back us up and just give us a timeline just to refresh, because I know recently you posted some of your old journal notes and how you were kind of manifesting and planning out, even drawing out your logos. Like, when did the light bulb go off for you to have this brand and how did it unfold over time?
So I would say early 2019 was when I was like, I gotta get out of this funk. I think I've talked briefly on my page about a little bit of postpartum depression that I was dealing with after my second son was born. I had a lot of complications during delivery, which actually left me with a emergency hysterectomy, and something that I was totally not planning for. You know, me and my husband always, you know, thought we were going to have like all these children and all that. And I felt like I was thrown into a situation where I had to be, you know, strong for my newborn, my 16 month. I felt like I wasn't able to really like cope with what I was going through mentally.
Right.
And I think that there are a lot of women who can relate to that with, you know, there's so much on our plate that you really don't kind of like take the time to really figure out what it is that's going on inside your own brain. And I felt that I needed a hobby. Like, I know that sounds lame to say it like that, but it's just like, you know how somebody would be like, girl, get a hobby, you know, because like all you're doing is just working and babies working and babies. And I think that was just one thing that I was like, I need to do something. I think the last time we spoke, I mentioned about the fact that, you know, like my husband has a basketball league. I just was in the house all the time and I needed something. So I always thought about creating a lifestyle brand. I just didn't know what that looked like at all. Like I said, I wanted kind of to create some type of blog community, but then, you know, in the end of the day, try to monetize it in some type of way. So like I said, early 2019, I was kind of coming off of that mental slump that I was in, that I was like, you know what, let me try to get in my creative bag and try to, you know, get some ideas together. I started like really going Pinterest heavy with a lot of inspiration, like anything that was like making me feel more of myself. I saw this quote, like a little snippet of Oprah, who said something about, as soon as you figure out a way to be more of yourself, that's when you're most powerful. And I wrote that down and I was just like, you know, what does that mean? Like, like, how can I be more of myself or whatever? And that's when I started toying with, you know, mommy gang or something about a homebody. And I literally was on the couch one day and I was just like, fancy homebody. First thing I thought about was sweatshirts and coffee mugs. So
yeah, I remember the first time I saw one of the fancy homebody posts, it was before you were really talking about selling things. And I was just like, I don't know what this is, but I'm buying it. Like, whatever comes next, I am in line for it. Because I think most people just felt seen. Like, okay, regardless of your age, you may just be at a point in your life, like, I've done the going out, I've done the, you know, had shown my looks, looked good, whatever, and I'm chilling now, like, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm still me, I'm still fly, but I'm just taking, I'm chill now, and it's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly, yeah, I feel like, in Chicago, you know, before I was married, you know, your girl used to be in the streets a little bit, and, you know, I still have a very large network of people here in the city, and, but I feel like those social circles was all about going out and events and all that kind of stuff, and that's just not my life anymore. And the thing about it was, like, I never fell out with any of those people. Right. I still am in contact with those people, but like, people were literally not thinking that I fell off the face of the earth. Like, a lot of people were thinking that I actually moved back to Cincinnati. That's how much I was in the house. Right. That I was just like, where is she? You know? So I'm like, yeah, I'm still here. So it was a way of me saying like, I'm still here and I still got some stuff going on. I promise.
So like a big part of your brand is the popular introvert tag. So would you consider yourself an introvert? I don't know where I'm at on the spectrum. I know I'm not really a full-time extrovert, but I still need my socializing. So I'm still trying to figure out where I'm at. So where do you land on the spectrum right now?
That's a good question. I feel like tried to ask myself that not too long ago, because who was it? Somebody said to me, like, you're not an introvert. And I'm like,
well, first of all, nobody can tell you what you are, number one.
right. But first of all, my social circle is very small. Like, I know I just mentioned all these people that I know around the city and stuff like that. But as far as like my friends and people who know me, it is super duper small. And with those people, with my family, I am very talkative or opinionated sometimes, you know what I'm saying? introverted in a way that I will avoid social interactions with strangers if I have to. Right. Like, it just makes me uncomfortable. Small talk and that sort of stuff, that makes me uncomfortable. So I don't know if I'm like a full-fledged, like all the way to like being socially awkward introvert, but I have no problem with being in the house.
It's like, I just enjoy my own company, especially at this point. The older I get, it's like, I, like I said, dribble and dabble in a little bit of social, but after that, I'm good by myself. Like,
yes. And I think also, you know, being in your 30s now and stuff, and different it kind of comes back to what I said I wanted to kind of shed light on, like with different priorities and stuff. There are still females out there, and you know, it's whatever floats your boat, but it's like there are women who feel like they need that validation, like even if they are successful, a mom and all this other stuff, they feel like they still need that social aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just not me at all. Like, I still love my friends, and but they also know the priorities in my life, you know what I mean, right now. And I don't think that that's the case for everybody under the sun, but there is, you know, that is the case for a large chunk of us. And whether or not that makes you an introvert or not, that's just somebody who I think is just protecting their peace, you know, whatever that looks like to you. So yeah, I don't have to, I'm that kind of friend that you can go weeks without talking to.
I literally just had this conversation with one of my really close friends, and we were talking about that, and we were saying how the pandemic has really impacted, because I have the same thing. I have a very, very, very small social circle, and especially through the pandemic, it's like I barely see the 2.5 people that I rock with anyway. Right. So we were saying, like, you know, it's kind of sad how it's been impacted. When the pandemic first hit, I initially didn't see my friends. The first friend that I saw, we had a Zoom Cinco de Mayo, and she ended up coming by to grab something. It was like, okay, I'm gonna just leave it at the door. And then she got there and it was like, no, bitch, I'm giving you a hug. Like, what's up? Like, I haven't seen you in months. So, but we were just talking about the impact of the pandemic and how not only are we going through this physical stage where we can't be around people as often as we would like, but we're also getting older at the same time. So we're experiencing those growing pains simultaneously. But it's like, if you call me up right now and we gotta go handle something, I'm gonna be there to handle it. So in the spirit of evolution and growth, on the personal side, let's talk about the growth of Fancy Homebody over the past year. What has changed? Does it look any different from February 1st, 2020 to now, mid-February 2021? What looks different for Fancy Homebody?
A lot. A lot. It is so weird to say. But so last time we spoke, I wasn't even selling loungewear.
Right.
Last time we spoke, I was just doing mugs. What was I doing? Mugs and sweatshirts and t-shirts, maybe. I don't even know if I was doing t-shirts.
Yeah, I think you had a couple t-shirts at that time.
And that was all drop shipping that I was doing. So at that time, I had no experience managing inventory. I had no experience working with a custom manufacturer. I had no experience with international shipping. I had none of that. And so even into the spring, spring, summer is when I was like, you know, let's start doing some loungewear lines. Only because I just didn't want to start looking like everybody else on the internet or on Instagram. That's just a big thing about me. I don't know, but it's just like, that's my angst.
Right. You want to differentiate yourself.
Like, I will literally go out of my way to do that. So I wanted to start doing loungewear and kind of put the sweatshirts and t-shirts on the back burner for a while. Not that I didn't love it, but it was just like, it was time for me to dabble into something else. So it was the first time that I was working with wholesalers and that whole side of thing. And again, that wasn't even international at the time. It kind of took off from there. that's when kind of the volume of sales completely changed for me. My first ever loungewear drop was a pre-sale or a pre-order or whatever. And Lord, did I learn my lesson there. Lord. You know, that during a pandemic, you can't really do those pre-orders and expect a realistic estimated time of arrival.
Very unreliable so, right now.
Yes. So that was, you know, another, you know, lesson that I learned there. But that did give me a chance to kind of gauge like, wow, like there are some people who are kind of like rocking with me out here or whatever. And kind of having to build from there, I'm like, whoa. So it was the first time I was like putting my own money out there just as a business owner and stuff. So it was scary, but it was worth it. And it totally took off last summer. And once that happened and the sales were picking up like they were, I was like, I need to talk to a manufacturer to get, you know, stuff custom for myself instead of having to work with wholesalers, you know,
right,
stateside. So having to do that just because it just made sense for the business at that time. So yeah, it has changed, and it has changed as far as like the time that I have to manage all of that. The biggest change is that I was still gainfully employed throughout that entire time. I did take a leave of absence in May from my job. So for no one who, you know, might not be familiar with me, but I've always worked in marketing communications, specifically in the pharmaceutical world. So really boring work, but that's just kind of what my life has been like for the last 6 years, doing Fancy Homebody, my job, and being a preschool teacher. You know, that's what was just tumum. I actually used that first drop that I was just talking about with the pre-order as a way to be like, can I gamble this? You know what I'm saying? Can I gamble and really bet on myself? And that kind of put that battery in my back to just keep going so that I would be able to officially quit, which I did in September.
Well, congratulations on making that leap. It was nice that you had that sort of experimental period, like you said, to see how you would be able to handle it as far as the growth and the volume.
Yeah, thank you. I remember DMing you before I did it.
I was like, girl, I know you're not sitting up here asking me. Asking me if you should, like, yes, girl, your stuff is rolling. Like, it's you got it going.
I don't know what I should do.
And trust me, I understand. Yeah. I have a very similar story. Again, if you listen to the podcast from last year on the episode when I'm there with my boyfriend and I was talking about just being at a very depressed state in my life, having to take a leave from work and eventually quitting my job. Now, my leap wasn't even to be an entrepreneur. I feel like, you know, I've always kind of had my hands in something, but my mental health was deteriorating. And it was like, okay, something has to, I cannot do all this stuff at once. I need to have some time for myself. And just shortly after that, it was a pandemic. So most people were either out of work or working from home or experiencing some type of strong transition anyways. So all of the things that I feared when I was considering quitting my job literally became a reality for myself and half of the nation. So it was like, you know what? Okay. Listen, this is the time for you to create something and really put your back into it, because it's probably not going to happen like this again. Like, we have all the time in the world now. We're sitting at home. And it's just time to make some moves. So I want to talk about this. I don't actually want to talk about it, but everyone else loves to bring it up. So we just going to dive into it. This work-life balance thing. I feel like we talked about this last time and it's still something that people want to talk about. And I understand because we are all, you know, working, going to school, mothers and relationships, have children. So this is something that people consistently want to talk about. Earlier, yes. You mentioned that with the pandemic, you basically became a homeschool teacher. Your oldest son had his first year of kindergarten, correct? Just like my son.
Yeah.
So it's like a milestone year for the kids. Transitioning into the remote learning and becoming a full-time business owner, how have the two things impacted each other? How do you manage your schedule knowing you have a certain volume of orders and you have to be mommy and teacher all at the same time in one day?
So I feel like last time we spoke, I had the luxury of having a drop shipper, you know, basically managing orders for me. Yes, I had the customer service aspect that I had to, of course, be on top of. But for the most part, you know, the volume was not where it's at right now. And, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, it is what it is. And one day it'll be this and the next day it'll be like, girl. So I still feel like there's a certain aspect that you just have to, the attitude of it is what it is. Certain days, like, you know, you might not be Betty Crocker. You might need to order a pizza.
I'm getting ready to order one as soon as we get off.
Yeah, you know, it has to, you know, got to go with the flow sometimes. But with the pandemic, with running this business, managing inventory myself, I have to be a lot more structured. I recently just did the post about being able to ask for help and being more comfortable with asking for help and delegating. And that's just something that I personally have struggled with for a long time anyway. So
you had a name for it, right? What was it? Little sister syndrome?
Little sister syndrome. Yes.
I love that.
yeah. And I think that that just came from the fact that I'm the little sister who moved to Chicago, met the boy, got married and started a family here. Right. And so I don't have the mom down the street who can, you know, kind of walk me through things and stuff. And I have that sense of wanting to handle it myself and showing them that I got it. You know, I got it figured out here in Chicago. Right. And that's how I was for years. And even with the decision to start a business, and my family has been very supportive, but they are also traditional. That they're like, what the hell? Like, you about to start? I'm like, what? And they've always looked at me as having a very successful career. So they were just very confused, like, what's right. going on? And why are you adding something else to your plate? So that was also a thing where it's just like, no, I have to show that I have this under control or whatever. So I know that my post on Instagram was basically around like domestic duties and, you know, taking your clothes to a wash and fold or being able to look somebody up on Thumbtack to come clean your house on the weekend or something like that. But I think that it also has just to do with if there's somebody that's going to watch your kids or something, you know, just being able to ask for help when you need it. If you need a virtual assistant or anything like that, because you're feeling like you're getting overwhelmed with XYZ, to not be ashamed to do that. I think that the pandemic, having my kindergartner home with me every day, it has forced me to be a lot more structured in my approach to how I run my household and my business. Like, my day has to be very structured. You know, coming to grips with that and being like, no, bitch, hire a tutor. And like, somebody needs to come here. Yeah. And being okay with that. So things like that has just made my life so much easier. And yes, it's an added expense, but you're not wanting to pull your hair out at the end of the day.
Has any of that trickled over into the business side where you have additional help for high volume times for orders and sales?
Yes. So yeah, I no longer manage my emails, like, or like the customer service side of things. And also I will have all hands on deck when it comes to my drops, as far as like shipping and that sort of thing. But primarily it is still me, all me, at the end of the day.
So let's talk about another taboo topic that you just mentioned. And this is something where I feel like it's a catch 22 right now, because one of my favorite things about 2020, 2021 small businesses, this push to support small businesses, is the fact that a lot of the small businesses that we support is because we know the person, we know their story, they're super relatable. Like, again, if you guys listen to our podcast episode from last year, Vanessa don't know me from a can of paint, okay? I saw the Instagram post about Fancy Homebody. I said, oh, this is my friend in my head. Like, everything that she's talking about, I connect with, I relate to. And we started building a rapport from there. We've never met. We've had conversations via DMs. But as far as it's concerned, we don't technically know each other. So I feel like a lot of people are able to build their brands on that same premise. But then it blurs the lines of, okay, what's appropriate for customers to say and do, business versus personal. So I do want to be tactful about it, but just for those who are starting a brand and kind of being the face of the brand, what can you give them as far as advice about maintaining your boundaries while still trying to uphold a certain level of customer service?
So I was thinking about that not too long ago too, just because, like I said, I no longer manage my emails myself. But, you know, I'll still, you know, take a look at my emails here and there. And it's like, hey, sis, you know, and that sort of thing. Like, people were sending me emails. Now, I love my customers and I love my following. I feel like I have a great rapport with the people who I engage with online. And I do think that that is important, that when you're building a brand, to have a customer base and an audience first, you know, you have to have an audience first. Absolutely. Before you just be waving something for somebody to sell. At least that's how it is for me. Like, if I want to purchase something from somebody, I kind of want to like feel them out a little bit before, unless it's like something like super exclusive and I just like, here's my credit card. But for the most part, if I want to be a returning customer, getting to know someone online is a good way to kind of, you know, support Black businesses in that way, I guess you could say. So it's a confusing question, because it's like, yes, we want people to be comfortable with us, interact with us, engage with our content. But then we also want our customers, our following, to respect the business side of things.
In the process.
The process, you know, I get DMs and stuff about, you know, can I come pick up my order? I'm in Chicago. It's just like, what? You know, like a whole stranger. And like, not that there aren't some people who do that type of stuff. Like, some people on Instagram talking about come pick up whatever you want to order, and that's totally fine. That's just not how I conduct my business.
Right.
So I think that it do got something to do with the fact that we Black and female. I'm just gonna be honest. Like, if we weren't, I don't think that would be happening. Like, y'all not under Target CEO's, you know, comments talking about when you think you're gonna restock this and that. I think I was cooked at your crib whenever you have it. So people take those liberties because they see that you're small. They see that you're reachable, approachable, and take those liberties. But I will say, though, that 95% of the time, it's all love. And I think that it always seems like when small business owners or Black business owners are kind of sharing those experiences, it makes it seem like it's bigger than what it is. Like, I never want to give that, I just don't want to come across as like you're having all these customer service issues or people are just taking all these liberties when it's really just, you know, just a couple, you know, right. Every now and then. So you don't want to pour too much energy into it, but setting those boundaries, knowing that I can't respond to everybody DM. Like, and sometimes the DMs that you can just kind of preview look so crazy that it's just like, I'm not even going to give my energy to that question. And I know that that might sound like, oh, high and mighty, but you have to protect your space, your energy at the end of the day. And I think that that is extended to our Instagram.
Right. Yeah, I think it's hard for people to really, really let that seep in. For me, I feel like because a lot of my following for my personal brand are women who have businesses, I encounter it much less. And also I'm much on a much smaller level. So Fancy Homebody has grown exponentially in a year. So of course, with the higher volume, you're going to run into that more. But I just feel like when you kind of see the back end and you have experienced it yourself, you're less likely to address people in certain ways. And what's unfortunate right. is, as someone who my personal brand is to always be talking about entrepreneurship and the process, you want to show the good and the bad. You want to show these customer interactions that may not be the most positive, but then it comes off like as a complaint. But really, I'm exactly. just giving you a view of what it looks like when you email an actual person
right.
with this high level of irateness versus you hitting up a customer service of a Macy's or something. Those people clock yeah. out at the end of the day. They don't, you know, they may take it home, but it's not their baby. So this is almost equivalent of someone coming for your child. It's like, this is my baby. I'm the only person that takes the brunt of all this negativity when it does come. And so it really can be disheartening sometimes. I wanted to talk about it for the people that are either venturing out or they're already in it. You have to yes. find a way to decompress from that. And it's two sides to it. As the human being, you got to figure out, okay, I'm going to be pissed for this 30 minutes. This person was talking to me real crazy. But then on the business side, how can I use this as a template for how I will address my customers going forward with this issue?
Exactly. Exactly. And also just to your point that you were just talking about having an audience that is also, you know, they might be entrepreneurs or inspiring entrepreneurs, business owners, that you find yourself wanting to build your own personal brand. Like I was saying, brand spanking new to this entrepreneur life, right? But then that automatically made me and target sounds like the wrong word because that sounds negative, but it's like all of a sudden, I now need to be a mentor.
Right.
You know, within my first year of business, that I'm trying to figure out myself, that you get hit with a lot of that too. Like, and you're trying to balance out, how do I come across as helpful, bringing value to my customers, my following, but at the same time, you know, still staying on your path, like right. still having a goal in mind for yourself. So that's still something that I still have to just kind of think about in the back of my mind all the time, that I'm still haven't quite figured it out all the way. I typically will just say that that's just not my ministry right now.
Because, yeah, and I think you do handle it well, because anytime you do yeah. a Q&A, that's usually one of the top questions. And yeah. like you said, I can't really grow myself if I'm over here trying to be an expert for you. That's kind of the purpose of this podcast. I had another person that was supposed to be a guest, and she's like, oh, I don't really feel like I have enough skin in the game to even be on a podcast. And I'm like, that's the point of this particular podcast, is for people who are doing it themselves and they don't have a clue what they're doing, and they just need to hear right. that somebody else, you know, is a regular day-to-day person that had a vision and wrote it in a notebook and it became a, you know, right. it's very successful.
But you also are bringing a resource like this podcast to the forefront. And that's why, be honest, it does get frustrating, because it's just like, oh, like, you could have went and saw She's Basically Podcast. Kind of, you know what I'm saying? You
could have been, I do think that being resourceful is something that a lot of people lack. Especially yes. when people have like shiny thing syndromes, they just want to know, how did you do it? Because I'm trying to do it tomorrow. And that really, you won't even be able to really take in all that you need to know by just asking, oh, Vanessa, who's your manufacturer? Like, what? Do you know how long and how much experimental money I spent to get here?
And, and how many bad samples from other manufacturers I had to get through. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, even, you know, I can't have an interview or anything without talking about my Mia, who is definitely my mentor, big cousin in my head, just through her influence itself. A big reason why I have a very large Michigan following is because of her always being able to highlight different brands and small businesses. So I know that that was one thing in the beginning that kind of made Fancy Homebody pop,
right?
Was when she talked about it. So that is never lost on me. But the thing is, even though that Mia is literally my friend, like my real friend, I have never asked her about a manufacturer, about a contact, about anything. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like we have that kind of relationship that I probably could, you know, but that's just a line I just would never cross. And so I think that that's why it's just a little weird when you don't know somebody from Adam and you talking and you're asking those sorts of questions instead of it being like a real tactical question. Like, I'll ask Mia about like how, you know, to print certain shipping manifests and stuff, you know, like little things right. like that she has more experience with, that she could help her friend through. And so the real broad questions about entrepreneurship and stuff like that, it just makes me feel like there just might need to be a little bit more personal self-discovery time before you're really comfortable with taking that leap.
Like, people really have to have a foundation of being resourceful. And that doesn't mean that you can't ask people things, but I just feel like it's like a read the room thing. Does this person frequently offer that type of information? Do they already have on their website courses and blog posts that feature that type of information? So I was just on live with another business owner, and I was talking about that and how I utilize Instagram to have my Insta coaches that don't know they're my coaches. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to see if you post behind the scenes, and I'm going to see what I can pull from that. And I'm just going to appreciate the fact that you even shared that. You were talking about Mia, and one of her recent Q&A, someone asked her, are you going to have a class? And her response was, I have a class on Instagram every day, right here in the stories.
Yeah.
So if you pay attention and you got your notebook out, there's a lot of things that you can catch. But that's just not every, like you said, that's not everybody's ministry to offer coaching and mentorship and things of that nature. So it's rough. It's hard when you're like knee deep and going through all this volume and you have to stop to answer a question about somebody else's thing in this. It's like, I can tell you didn't even try to research.
And right. And sometimes, you know, you can catch me, you know, feeling real sweet and stuff. And I will, you know, I'll respond to people. And it also has to do with how people reach out.
Yeah, the E-word. You know? It's the E-word, entitlement. Because some people yes. reach out and it's like, okay, it is what it is. If I can't help, I can't help. And it's all love. Other people,
yes.
they come, it's no hi, hello. Like, you didn't even romance me yet. Like...
Exactly. Like, if it's done in a tasteful way, and I feel like I can actually offer value, and I'll answer it. Like, I'm not here to be like, I am documenting being an entrepreneur, being a mother, and I really want to get back to that documentation of my life and not just be all about selling merchandise. You know, I think that is one thing for sure that's different. That's what I should have said when you asked me that about last February versus I won't say now because I'm trying to turn it back, but I felt like things were happening so quickly for Fancy Homebody that I was talking about merchandise and clothes and stuff like that far, like a lot more than my life, how things were going. Like, of course, I was documenting things in my stories, but I really want to dial it back again where it's not all about drops and merchandise, and it's really more about the homebody lifestyle, my life, and how I am balancing everything. And, you know, when it's time to sell merchandise, then it's time to sell merchandise. That I just don't want it to be like every other boutique or anything like that that's going on Instagram. So you have to kind of, you have to teach your audience how they're supposed to kind of perceive your content. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be preaching about, girl, I'm not no boutique, but all you see me doing is posting looks. Then I have to check myself and be honest with myself about what I am putting out to my following. So being able to have that good balance. And again, it was just because things were happening so quickly last year that it was feeling that way. So being able to kind of dial it back and get back into talking about life, it's been fun to kind of just slow down and talk to my people again, you know?
Yeah. So Fancy Homebody is basically a platform, a brand versus just a business. And I think that that is really what plays into the success of it. It's not just, hey, here go a sweatshirt, buy the sweatshirt. Like, especially now, like you said, now that you have a moment to reevaluate what do you want it to look like, you are doing more blog style postings and just talking to us about that balance and the mm-hmm. little sister syndrome and just really just giving conversation. And I think that is, that almost just plays back into the profitability of it. Like,
yeah,
it just all ties in together and just the success comes naturally because it's something that's relatable and we all can identify with mommy life, homebody life, introvert, popular introvert. We all can just find something, even if you don't fit every label, you can find something in there that's like, wow, I feel seen. Here's a community of people that have things in common. I mean, you give us everything from meal ideas, how to make a box cake taste like a bakery cake. Like, it's a full gamut of information. So it's not just sweatshirts and 90s.
Yes. And you know what? And it's also like, again, that quote about like your biggest strength and kind of like tying back into that, because now everybody and their mama got a loungewear line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally.
And I see a little few too many things that's teetering on Fancy Homebody. I don't mind my business because I'm not a lawyer, but I see y'all.
I'm just saying.
I see y'all.
And that's totally fine because, you know, a trend is a trend. Right. And that's what the world is around right now. People are selling loungewear. They're not in cocktail dresses all day long. Like some of your biggest brands are really pushing loungewear.
Listen,
now.
I gotta add, the other day I used to work for Ann Taylor. You know Ann Taylor is a women's suiting work. I saw them with a little sweatsuit. I said, Ann Taylor, now y'all know damn well y'all ain't never sold, I know y'all got Loft as your more casual brand, but you never sold a sweatsuit in your life. Like, so basically I just find it so funny that everybody is pivoting to what you were already getting ready to do. Like that just, yeah. I think that's so hilarious.
Yes. It's so, but as a small business though, it's also kind of like, you know, I kind of feel protective over like what I want to do.
Absolutely.
That's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily want to do the whole wholesale-y vendor boutique-y type of stuff anymore. Really hone in on manufacturing, and designing my own stuff, just so I can always have something that is clearly different than the masses. But it has been crazy kind of seeing that. And you know, people will send me stuff or be like, oh, this look like Fancy Homebody. And I'm like, everybody is selling loungewear now, you know, like y'all not sending me something as Zara is promoting right now, which is all about lounging and stuff. But that's just the way of the world right now. We're in loungewear.
Well, I think you've definitely built something that is a staple and not a trend. So I applaud you on that. You know, the last time we talked, I call you a marketing genius, like just the way that you, even down to picking the absolute perfect name. Like, how did you even, as soon as I see Fancy Homebody, I'm like, yep, mm-hmm, I'm a part of it. I don't even know what's going on, but I'm getting on the bus. Like wherever they going, I'm getting on the bus. So I definitely applaud you for that. Before I let you go, because I don't want to take up too much of your time, I do have a couple little fun questions I want to ask you. Do you have a black business that's owned by a woman that you would like to shout out? Maybe somebody that you've purchased from recently, somebody just getting started, something that you always use. You're free to give a little shout out to any business that you would like.
You know what? I'm gonna I'm going to keep it local, and I'm going to shout out Banny's Beats, which is a juice bar here in Chicago on the South Side, owned by a Black woman, and it is amazing and super cute.
So, did you just post from there? They had the grass wall?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
That was
super cute. And I just appreciate any, like, little business that is still able to be rocking and rolling through these times and being a brick and mortar. So, yeah, go check them out if you're on the South Side of Chicago in the Beverly area. It's Annie's Beat.
All right, so before I let you go, because it is the season of love and we're talking about work-life balance, we've talked about the kids, we've talked about the business, we haven't really talked about Bae. So what do you and your husband have planned for Valentine's Day, if anything?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? We're actually going to go out early. We're not going to go out.
We always go early.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to go out on Friday. We're going bowling.
I love it.
It's like to a cute little, like, bowling lounge situation, like where they have cute drinks and stuff.
I like it.
So we're gonna do that on Friday, and yeah, I don't know, like, I'm not big on Valentine's Day as far as like him needing to take me somewhere, but a girl does like chocolates and flowers,
a little something.
You can hear me.
A little something never hurt anybody. So, yeah, I hope that you guys enjoy that time as mothers, businesswomen, and people just trying to survive during a damn pandemic. It is important to get out, date your spouse, and really just keep it fresh. So I hope you guys have fun bowling. We have something similar out here at the Foxwoods because, you know, it's like an upscale bowling lounge. So that is a really good date night idea for anybody who needs it. Do a little bowling, have some drinks. You can still get casually cute. You can throw on your fancy homebody. And just have a
period. Yeah. So, do you guys still do the Monday dates?
Okay, girl. So it has been. I'm surprised you even remember that. So
I told my husband about that. I was like, so Shay, they have Mondays as their day.
Oh,
so
my God, it was so good. It was literally perfect. Like, even when I was working full time, I had the schedule where I had every other Monday off, and that's how we were able to do that. But honestly, with our situation with the pandemic, our son's school is in person, but they rotate between remote and in person. Like, people change their draws. Like, it's literally no rhyme or reason. So I think so much time has passed since he was in school in person for like a steady time. We were just talking about this, like, damn, we haven't been to our favorite brunch spot that we would go to on a weekday in almost like 6 weeks, and we didn't even realize how much time had passed. So I think that's why we are looking forward to Valentine's Day. We're like, okay, we're gonna go out. We do the early thing as well, whether it be lunch on Valentine's Day or just celebrating a day earlier just so that there's not a rush. And I'm really looking forward to it because we have not hung like that. And it really makes a difference. Like, when you look up and it's like, damn, we haven't done no adult stuff in about 2 months. Like, that's crazy. So that is so important to me. I love dates. And I mean, it'll be simple stuff. Like, we'll just be at the table both drinking a coffee at a random time. And I'm like, coffee date, like, just acknowledging the fact that we're sitting here without a child being a child and getting to have some adult time. So whatever way we can get a date, I hope soon we can get back to that steady weekday date that we used to be able to do. I saw a couple Instagram memories where we had like went to New York on a Monday and I got to go to the Glossier store. But yeah, the pandemic definitely put a little wrench in that, but I do want to make it a priority to focus on that more, because especially with me, I'm tunnel vision. So it's just me by myself. I don't really have help. So when I have high volume, I'm tunnel vision. I know he's like, this girl ain't said a word to me all day. Like, I'm just doing what I have to do. So I do need those speed bumps. I tell him, like, you have to be my speed bump. Like, be like, you know, you working real hard. Let's tone it down for a day and go do something, because I don't want to get to that point where I'm burnt out. Like, right now, I'm busy, and I'm busy doing something that I love versus busy and being miserable. But getting still, I want a speed bump. I want you to stop and be like, hey, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we going to do this. So,
and having a cutoff time, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is something else that through the e-learning and all that, definitely a cutoff time. 2021, that's really my goal, is from 4:30 to 8:30. It's like no real social media as far as like content and that sort of thing. Like, kind of turning that aspect off, being able to get the kids down at a decent time so that, you know, if it's even just, you know, us on HBO Max and like right. catching up on Your Honor.
Your Honor, yep. Every Sunday, that's us.
You know, that can be a date in itself, but I think that that also is about structure and being able to turn that stuff off, girl. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love it. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. I appreciate you taking the time out.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me. Hopefully we can get past whatever the hell is going on in the world, and one day I'll be in Chicago and I can get some Bandy's Beats with you, because yes. I'm like, this is my friend. Like, I need to go see my girl Vanessa.
I know. No, we need to meet up in New York and go to While We Were Young.
Oh yes, okay. That is the plan. I'm sorry, we're gonna do that's While We Were Young. Yes, we are that's going to do that there. And we're gonna be real cute. Yeah. We're not gonna be homebody in that day. We're gonna be nope. dressed up.
Nope. Definitely.
All right, Vanessa, well, take it easy. Thank you again, and I'm so excited to have everyone hear us talking again. So if you are new to the podcast, again, I like to talk to women especially, but business owners who just have, you know, a regular life. We're not celebrities. We don't have 10 million followers on Instagram, and we just have dreams and we're building them. So those are the type of guests that I enjoy. So of course, Vanessa was perfect. So thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you guys next week.